Thanks, Lake. All right. If you can open up your Bibles to James chapter 3. And we're actually going to read the whole chapter. We're getting through James. We got chapters 4 and 5 left. Ben's going to be preaching here in a week or two. So next week. So you can either choose to come or not come that day. I'd advise you come, but he's going to do a great job. He's been studying it for weeks, so he's really prepared something for us. But chapter 3 this morning, and you know, we've gone through the book of James. You know, we've split up some chapters. We skipped one section because we just preached that in September, October time frame. But there's some real gritty stuff in James. You know, it's kind of the thing I was talking about last week about. It's like a mirror being held to your face, you know, and you're kind of like, whoa, too much information. TMI. But it's so good. The book is so good, and it's so full. And this morning we're going to talk about the tongue and the trouble the tongue can get us into. But in chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So there's a lot there. And as I'm reading this, you know, I'm thinking of fire a lot of the time and just how unruly a fire can be. And I was thinking of myself, you know, when I was a kid and many times being labeled a troublemaker, you know, when I really wasn't just so. It was, you know, I wasn't really a troublemaker. I just had the label. But, you know, there was this one time when we were hanging out in the woods, me and my friend, and how I remember how quickly we were playing with fire and that we thought the fire was so small. It was like in a little Bic lighter. And it's so easy just to flick the Bic lighter to get the fire to come up, and you didn't think anything of it until you tried to, you know, in our ignorance, burn a piece of wood. And being that the whole forest that we were around was so dry at that time, how quickly that spark went. And it lit the whole stump and the whole tree that had fallen down right in front of us, and how quickly that fire spread. And it became so unmanageable that we started to fear and panic and tried to throw dirt on the fire, but it just kept spreading. And me and my friend did all that we could to stomp that fire out. And it literally took us hours to stomp and get that fire settled. But the feeling of panic, knowing that the spark that we had lit ignited something so big that was beyond ourselves. And it tends to be like that with our tongue, that we unknowingly and ignorantly ignite something that spreads so fast, and we have such a hard time maintaining and containing that many times we can, and at that point we have to say, Lord, I have to just repent and you have to help me here because the fire is spreading out of control. But how quickly that fire spreads and how quickly we understand that our tongues can be troublemakers. You know, can't they? Has anybody ever had the experience where your tongue just gets out of control and the next thing you know, you've just started a whole fire and now the whole mountainside is in flames and everyone's calling you. Everyone's saying, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what's going on? Did you hear? And it just seems to circle and circle, especially in our community, isn't it? It just happens so quickly. But the tongue is a troublemaker. When James starts this chapter 3 out, he says, my brothers, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. And what he's saying is that this Jewish body that he's talking to desired to be teachers. And that's a good thing, to desire to be a teacher. But before they got to be teachers, James had to address one thing, because if they were going to desire something noble, like teaching others about the Word of God, they had to address their tongue. And that was the problem in the Hebrew Christian church that he was talking to, the Hebrew people, that they had to address their tongues before they were going to go on and be teachers. And he's saying, you're going to be held to a higher standard if you're going to teach the Word of God. But the standard really is for all of us. It's for all of us to watch what our tongues can do and be careful what is spoken out of our tongue. But James goes into a few different categories. He likens the tongue to something. And so we'll go through each one of those. But the first thing that he likens the tongue to is a bit that goes in a horse's mouth and a rudder that goes on the back of a ship or a boat. And how small those things are, because they seem like they're nothing. A bit is so small. When I used to ride horses years ago, a few times that I did it, the smallest piece of metal that went into this horse's mouth controlled the whole horse. I remember being a kid and realizing that as small as I was as a kid, that I'm able to control this huge horse that I'm sitting on by this little bit that goes in his mouth. And so James, he likens the tongue to that little bit. Though it's small, it has great power in it. And the same way, our tongues have great power in them. But those things are two small devices. It's just a piece of metal. It's a small piece of metal, the bit. But you can control a 2,000-pound horse. And the rudder is a small thing on a boat, but we see the small rudder is able to control something as big as a huge oil tanker. It has power to direct, and it has power to change the course of the vessel. So the tongue is a small part of our body, but it's got great power. Many people let their tongue get out of control, and I think we've all found ourselves in that situation where our tongue got ahead of us. And we said something, maybe we thought it was funny, maybe we thought, you know, we're just making a joke, but then all of a sudden something spread and it got out of control where we ended up hurting somebody or spreading a rumor that we really didn't intend even to spread. But we understand through our life experience that our tongue is a powerful member of our bodies. But we also find out this, that even like a ship, the things we speak and how we use our tongue it leads our whole body. So if we allow our tongue to get out of control, what happens is our body is going to follow our tongue. And so if we get into the habit of speaking a certain way and speaking about things a certain way, we understand that the things we're speaking about, our bodies follow what we're talking about. There's so much that can come out of our mouths. And so the Word of God warns us about speaking out of turn, speaking without thinking, speaking and letting things come out of our mouth that we should never allow to come out of our mouths. We find that words usually lead to deeds, that if we speak it, deeds follow. So we got to be careful. I remember hearing somebody say something years ago. We were in church, and they said this. They said, well, if I'm thinking it, I might as well speak it. And I, you know, for a while I thought, well, you know what? Maybe she's right, because, you know, if she's thinking it and it's who she is, then we might as well say it. You know, might say it out loud. You might, you know, don't sit there and think it and put an attitude to it, but go ahead and say it. And that was my thinking. But the more I realized it, that ain't right. You can't, if you're thinking it, don't say it. Because the problem with that idea is if our thoughts aren't from the Lord, and many times 99% of our thoughts aren't from the Lord, what we're doing by speaking it is we're perpetuating the enemy's thoughts out of our mouth. And the enemy's thoughts are meant for destruction. They're meant to burn up everything around it. They're meant to cause death. to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we're perpetuating the enemy's words out of our mouth. And so we need to understand that we need to discipline our tongue, but we need to discipline our whole body as well. We need to discipline our minds and understand some of these thoughts aren't ours. And so we don't need to replicate them out of our mouths. Proverbs 18:21, and you can really start to understand this verse. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about how powerful that is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then the second part says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So whether you love death or whether you love life, whatever you speak, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. So we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth. David, he prayed a prayer in Psalm 141, 3 and 4, and it's a good prayer for us. It says this, it says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. So set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips and incline not my heart to any evil thing. And you think, how can I control my tongue? Because we all get in those situations where you're almost biting your tongue to bleed because you know you shouldn't say anything. And many times we fail and we just say it anyway. And we think, man, I should have never said that. And why did that come out of my mouth? And you know, that wasn't me. I wasn't even thinking that. I shouldn't have been saying that. You know, and you try to get out of it, try to back out of it the best you can. And we realize, well, why did I say it? And David gives us a little hint here. He says, set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. And then he says, incline not my heart to any evil thing. So a problem with the tongue stems back to a problem with the heart. And so we have to check both of them. But the key to controlling the tongue is found in that verse. That if we want to control our tongue, we need to control our heart as well, because it starts in the heart. And David's tongue and his life and his heart, we find through that psalm right there, it shows something different that we all need to take note of. That not only was his tongue submitted to the Lord, and that's the key, was the submission, but his heart was submitted to the Lord first. And in order to control his tongue, he had to allow his heart to be submitted to his God. And then the tongue was more easily controlled. How do I control my tongue? Do I submit it to the Lord? And do I submit my heart to the Lord? And if not, I can pray that psalm with David to say, Lord, guard my tongue. Incline my heart not to do any evil. There's a quote. It goes like this. It says, when Jesus Christ is Lord of the heart, then Jesus Christ is Lord of the lips too. So we start in the depths. We start in the deep to say, Lord, start with my heart first. Lord, let my heart be submitted to you. So many times I find myself in wrongdoing. I find myself in a bad place, and I think, Lord, why am I doing this? Why am I carrying out something that I know I shouldn't be doing, that I really don't want to do? I feel like I don't want to do it, but I find myself in it. And it goes back to the fact, have I submitted my heart in this area to the Lord? Or am I still in rebellion in this area? When Jesus Christ is Lord of the heart, then he's Lord of the lips too. And so the bit and the rudder, like the tongue, is a small thing, but it's very powerful. The second thing that James compares the tongue to is a fire in an animal. He compares it to a fire in a variety of animals too. Last June, you guys have seen the news, you've watched the California wildfires. There's so many wildfires out there that they have tried to segment them off and figure out, okay, this wildfire was in this part of these different counties, this wildfire was this in these different part of these counties, and then they try to investigate all these wildfires to see what happened. But they investigated one. There was the largest wildfire in California history last year in June, and it was reported that it had burned up 410,203 acres in four different counties. It was so big. It destroyed 280 buildings, and luckily, in this, I wish it didn't kill anyone, but it killed one firefighter. And they named the blaze the Ranch Fire because they did an investigation. And through this extensive investigation and going throughout all the land, trying to figure out where this fire started, they pinpointed it back to this little spark, this little hot metal fragment that came from this ranch. They called it the Ranch Fire. And it was one day this one man went out and he decided that he was going to build a fence. And so he started building the fence. He just started. And he had a metal stake and he took a metal hammer and he drove the metal stake into the ground. And from that, hitting that stake from that with that hammer, one little spark popped off of it. It helped. It hit the surrounding brush, and it spread so fast that the guy couldn't do anything about it. It was over. One huge fire, one huge landslide fire, was started by one spark from one hammer hitting one stake. But that's usually how large fires start, by one little spark. And so James understands the nature of fire. He understands the nature of the spark, and he compares our tongue to that spark, to the fire. And so we have the ability, with one small spark from our words, to create a destructive fire. Our words can start fires. How many times have we been in churches and everything's great in a church, everything's great with your friends, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, you don't even hear anything. All of a sudden, you just feel something. Ever been in a situation, you walk in a room, and 2 weeks ago, it seemed fine, and then you walk in the room 2 weeks later, and you're like, you feel like you have a burger hanging out of your nose or something weird, and you're like, okay, something's going on here. I can't really determine what it is. But you haven't even heard anything, but something has spread so fast, and your ears haven't heard it, but you can sense it when you walk in the room and come to find out there's some rumor swirling around, something's going on, people are looking at you funny. But the fire has spread so fast, and this happens in churches, because one little rumor gets started, and then someone decided, I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to go spread it over here, and then I'm going to meet them over here at this place, and I'm going to talk about it. And they don't even know what the truth is. But those fires spread so fast, and rumors and gossip spread so fast. They are a destructive fire. And not only will they destroy your relationships outside the church, they will try to destroy the church itself. But fires spread from one little spark so quickly. Our words can start fires. In Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So it warns us from being a talebearer, from spreading strife, from spreading gossip, because in those things is a fire that destroys. It destroys. So we have to be careful of the words we speak in the church, outside of the church, because our words can destroy. They truly can destroy. There's something about fire that we know about. We know not to stick our hands in it, obviously. We know it's hot. We know it burns. But it does something else, too. And we found this out just a few months ago, around Christmas time. You know, we came into the church, and Elizabeth came in and opened the door and locked the door, and the church was filled with smoke. And you know, the fire in the church wasn't that big. It was really small. And it really didn't burn too much. It burned what was in the little pot back there on the stove. But it wasn't the heat of the fire that was so destructive in this church. It was the smoke that came from the heat and the fire. So even though the fire was somewhat contained on the stove, the smoke spread so fast that everything was dirty from the top to the bottom. And that's why we had to have somebody come in and clean everything from top to bottom. But what we find out about fire is it's not just the fire itself and the burning. That's bad enough. But what happens is once that fire gets burning and the spark is lit and the fire starts to spread, what we find out about it is it doesn't just burn and cause a whole hillside fire. What else can happen is it defiles with the smoke and the dirt. So everyone who's been touched by it, who's been a part of it, all of a sudden there's some defilement that has gone on. So we see that characteristic in fire and smoke. We see that characteristic from a spark that can start by misusing the tongue. The second thing he likens it to with this portion of Scripture is an animal. And every type of animal, he says, has been tamed. You think about all the animals in the world, every single animal has been tamed in some form. I've seen lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and they're all in different, these petting zoos or whatever, and they seem somewhat tamed. Every animal's been tamed, but he says even the tongue, and only the tongue, out of all these animals can't be tamed. You can tame every one of those things, but you cannot tame the tongue. And so he's comparing it to this wild animal. The tongue is a wild animal, and he's stressing the damage that a wild animal can have. And can you imagine, like we're sitting here, and I say, hey, this is my pet lion, and I'm going to let him go, and don't worry about it, he's just going to lick you, and he's hungry. And he decides, you know, I'm not just going to lick you guys. I'm going to chow down. So if I just let a wild animal roam in here, it'd be destructive. Everyone would be in fear. We would see the carnage. It would be awful. And the same way, the tongue, when it's let loose, can cause carnage. It can cause damage. It's deadly. And so James is saying the tongue is worse than even a wild animal and the destruction it can cause, because gossip runs rampant. It sets a church body on fire, and it destroys fellowship. And then the last thing it destroys, and this is what we don't want to happen, is it destroys the advancement of the purpose of the church in Jesus Christ. We want to maintain that. We want to uphold that. And so we tame the tongue. And there's only one way you can tame the tongue. You can only submit it to Jesus Christ. You can't tame the tongue. Think about it. You cannot tame the tongue. It's impossible. But you can submit the tongue and the heart to Jesus Christ, and that's how you change what happens with your tongue. Is my tongue submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ? If so, then the same tongue that used to set things on fire, and this is the change we want to see, the same tongue that used to set things on fire is now able to win the lost. Because your heart isn't directed towards destruction. Your heart is now directed towards salvation, towards the Lord's will. The same tongue that used to tear down is now a tongue that can build up. Is your tongue submitted to Jesus Christ? And further, is your heart submitted to Jesus Christ? In Matthew 12, 34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Have we allowed our tongue to be tamed? Have we allowed our tongue to be tamed? And the last thing that James compares it to is a fountain in a tree. And we're finishing up here. But the fountain is something that brings forth water. And water is something that you easily take for granted, isn't it? And I didn't realize this until a few years ago. And we were just sitting around, everything was great in our house, and all of a sudden the pump quit, the water pump. And I didn't realize how crucial water was to a family. But let your pump stop and see what happens. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, we had no water to drink. Our laundry kept piling up. We couldn't clean our clothes. We couldn't take showers. And it seemed like life stopped when our water quit. But the thing about water, it's life-giving. And if you don't have it, you don't realize how much of a blessing it is until it's gone. And then you realize, man, we need to get water, and we need to get water right now. So the water in our house, we got it started back up, and it seemed like life continued. It seemed to go on. It seemed to be normal again. And we've had our water tested many times, and our water is really good in our house. It's great. You know, it's been tested. It's pure. It tastes. It's got a great taste to it. But I've been to places where the water's not so great. Nick's uncle's house, it smells like eggs. It's brown. You can't drink it because if you do, you're going to get sick. You don't even want to take a shower with it. And so Herb always had to go fill up gallons of water and bring them for drinking water to the house. It was annoying, you know. But there's bad wells and there's good wells. But what James is saying about water is he says you can't get good water out of a bad well, and you can't get bad water out of a good well. Once a well goes bad, it's bad. And once a well is good, then it's good, unless it's tainted later. And he's saying the same thing is you can't bear fruit. There's two different types of fruit from one tree. You're either going to have an apple tree or you're going to have an orange tree. And so what he's saying is the problem with the tongue and the fruit of what's happening in our mouths isn't a problem of just the tongue. He's saying it's the problem of the source. So what's happening with the source? Because if the source is bad, then the tongue is bad. He's saying it's hard to praise God with the same tongue that you use to curse others with. It's hard to come in. And maybe, you know, sometimes your praise is restricted, and maybe there's a reason why your praise is restricted. But God says that you can't have good worship out of a mouth that curses. So he says when we do, we're not really being honest. We're not really being honest with our praises, with our heart, with our source. We're not dealing completely honestly with our source if our mouth is speaking things, because it's pointing to the well that's gone bad. Proverbs 4:23, it says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you say, how do I repair the well? If you're telling me that a well can't be fixed, then what do I do? I'm lost. I'm hopeless. And that's when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, I need to submit my well to Him. I need to allow Him to cleanse my heart, because the only thing that can cleanse your heart is the blood of Jesus Christ. So if I've had a problem with the tongue, then obviously I have a problem with the heart. And through my submission to Christ and through my asking Him, Lord, cleanse me. As David asked you to cleanse his heart, Lord, cleanse my heart. James says that bitter envying, strife, all those things do not come from above. It don't come from the Lord. But it comes from, or it's earthly, he says. It's sensual. It's devilish. He says the wisdom from above is this. It's purity. It's peace. It's gentle. It's merciful. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And so that comes from daily submission with God. It's not something that I get up and I did once 14, 15, 16, 20, 25 years ago. It's something that I have to do every morning. It's something that I have to get up and say, Lord, I submit my heart to you today. Father, make my well clean today. Lord, watch the words of my mouth. Keep a watch, Lord, over my mouth. Let me speak life into people. Let me not curse, Lord. And when we have done that in the mornings, when we have done that through the week, come in on Sunday and see what your praise is like. See what kind of well you're praising God out of at that point, and see if something hasn't changed. See if your heart hasn't been cleansed. Will you stand with me? Let's pray this morning. I didn't plan this. This just happened to be in the series, but man, there's some good word here. I don't know if you agree or not. But one thing that we desire is to be able to come in to this assembly, to love one another, to love our Lord, to praise Him and worship Him out of a pure heart. And sometimes we just don't feel so pure. We come in, we feel groggy. We feel weakened for some reason. But maybe the condition we're suffering from is a condition of the heart. Maybe the things that have been coming out of our mouths haven't been glorifying to Him, but they've tore down, they've hurt. Even if the person wasn't around us, maybe we have allowed things to come out of our mouth that came from a bad well. Maybe we've been listening to the enemy a little bit too long. But there's a recourse. We can go to Him this morning, and we can ask Him to forgive us, to cleanse us, to guard our heart, to submit our hearts to Him. We can call upon Him to change our tongue and to help us control our tongue. We can ask Him and call upon Him to control our weak, that when we start to praise Him again, it comes out of a different source. What would our praises be like if we submitted our hearts to Him? What would our relationships be like if we submitted our hearts to Him? Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your Word. And Father, Your Word isn't always easy, but Lord, it's life-giving. Sometimes we don't want to hear it, because it kind of shines a light on who we are, Father, and that's hard. But Lord, You love us, and that's the good thing about discovering Your Word, applying Your Word, is to know above all else, Lord, that You love us completely. And so it's easier to submit to You when we understand how much You love us and care for us, even when we fail. But Lord, we don't want to speak death anymore. We don't want to speak cursing. We don't want to start fires with our words anymore. Father, many times we do it out of guilt, out of shame, out of hurt, out of rejection. But Lord, I apply Your blood to our hearts this morning. Father, I submit my heart, Lord, and I pray that we all submit our hearts to You. Help us, Lord, to allow You to direct our lives, to direct our mornings, every morning when we get up, to submit our lives daily to You, Father, so that our words are controlled by the goodness of our heart, the renewal of our heart. Father, help us to stop the enemy in his tracks, to not advance his purpose of spreading fire all over the community, all over the church, all over our loved ones and friends, but help us to be the one who stomps it out and says, no more, no more. I'm speaking life into this situation. I'm speaking love to this person. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not even going to think ill, but I'm going to allow you, Lord, to direct my thoughts for good. Will you submit to him today? Would you pray that prayer with me today? Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord. Father, help us to take this in and to really apply it. Father, help us to grow as a church through this word. Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week.